I'm going to start off with a word of prayer this morning, and then I'll give a quick encouragement, and then we're going to get into the word. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds great? All right. How many are expectant? All right. How many were here last week? Okay. Praise God. I want to encourage just before we go on this morning, just as a reminder for our testimony forms or sheets, because we had awesome testimonies here in healing class last week, and I know, no doubt, this week there have been great testimonies, things happen in our lives, things we've experienced, opportunities, divine appointments for us to be able to, one way or the other, minister to others. And so I want to encourage, as you continue to walk in victory here on this earth, in your earth walk, it's a good thing. Someone say, good thing. It's a great thing to get to share this with others, the body of believers, and to be able to give thanks, praise, and glory to God, okay, and encouragement by just filling these out. First name basis is fine, is great, and then we can get to share this with the class and then with the body as a whole, okay? Does that sound good? It's awesome. Great things, awesome things are happening here at House on Rock Church. Father, just give this time to you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is quick and active, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, because it brings light and illumination to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for understanding of who you are and thanksgiving in our hearts for all that you've done as it concerns healing and health in you. We give you praise, Lord, that we're just able to walk in victory in this arena and glorify your holy name. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity once again to revel in all that you have done, to think on you, Lord, and to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for causing us and helping us to get it, to understand all that we've fully received for us to richly enjoy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke in chapter 17. Luke in chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 11. We're going to take a couple of verses here. I'm just going to give us a moment just to settle some. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17. Last week, the title for the message last week was, Have You Been Silenced? Have you been silenced? And we talked about the importance of sharing what?
Testimony.
And the need for us to be free to give thanks to God and to glorify God as it concerns healing and walking in divine health, and not to be silent, not to keep quiet about it. It's an opportunity for ministry. We get encouraged when we glorify God, when we give him thanks, and then we are in that space whereby we're able to share, we're able to communicate that, especially with what's going on in the world right now where there's not so much of good news, not too much of it. Because guess what the ultimate good news is?
The gospel.
What is the gospel?
Salvation.
Good news?
Salvation.
Who is that?
Salvation.
Salvation?
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So I titled this morning, Still Waiting to See. Still waiting to see? Are you still waiting to see? Luke 17, from verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, speaking concerning Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met with him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. So I want you to put a mark there in that portion. And I want us to get some background for this, for a couple of things I'm about to say in this regard as it concerns this passage, this portion of scripture. So just put your hand, a finger, or a mark, or something there, and let's head to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. A couple of verses from verse 45. Leviticus chapter 13. Now, this portion says, under the Old Testament, those who, I'm reading from the New Living Translation on this, those who suffer from a serious skin disease, that is leprosy, as most versions will have it, must, because there is something that, under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, there's something that was in place, a system was in place to govern and to rule over such conditions. Okay, operation in that wise. Those who suffer from a serious skin disease, leprosy, must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. So friends, immediately from our portion of scripture in Luke 17, we see the reason why these ones, these 10, did what? Stood what? Afar off. Because they could not, based on their condition, based on their situation, based on the position in which they found themselves, they could not by law be not only in contact, but amongst the general populace. So in a manner of speaking, these ones were what? Outcasts. Okay? And so this is the reason why they stood afar off, because of their condition. And they had chosen, one way or the other, to bandy together, to come together as a collective. There are 10 of them. That's the reason why they stood afar off. And then they cried out to Jesus. What did they say in lifting up their voices?
Mercy.
Yeah, but before have mercy. What did they say? Let's look at it again. What did they say?
Jesus, Master.
Jesus, Master, have what? Mercy upon us. So the first point I'm going to make this morning as we go on in this class concerning this topic, are you still waiting to see, is this. In lifting up their voices, their word, that which came out from their lips, that which was uttered from their hearts, springing out through their mouths, friends, had changed. It was not what it was supposed to be. Based on their position, based on their predicament, based on what they had in their bodies, the condition, the health condition in which they found themselves, they were supposed to say, voice out what?
Unclean.
Unclean. Unclean, but their tongue changed, the word changed, their speaking, their speech changed. It was not what it ought to be, because all of a sudden, for once in their lifetime, they were able to zone in on the Master himself, the Savior himself, and said what? Jesus, Master, have mercy. What do you think provoked that? What do you think brought that out? What was in them that sprang forth that way? What was it in them?
Desperation.
Desperation?
Faith.
Faith.
Yeah. Mixed with desperation. That's awesome.
But asking for healing, that is making a demand. as it concerns healing. They were making a demand of the Master, making a demand of the Savior. Yes?
I don't believe this was a random meeting. I think the fact that we're 10 of them together, they were looking for him, I believe.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a good perspective.
Praise
the Lord. So they were looking for him. But once they got wind of the fact that, oh, he's here.
He is.
Okay, oh, forget that business about unclean, unclean. There has to be a change and a shift that starts where? Starts in your heart. Because guess what? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens?
The mouth speaks.
Okay, so last week, we asked the question, have you been silenced? So it's not okay to just respond to that. It was a rhetorical question. It's not okay to just respond to that and say, oh, yeah, I've not been silenced. Oh, no, no, have you been silenced? Oh, no, I've not been silenced. That's good, that's great. But then, if you've not been silenced, what are you speaking? What's coming out of your mouth? What's emanating from your mouth? Is it that which tends to faith? Or is it that which tends to doubt or unbelief? What are you speaking? Let's think on that. That words changed. And I think that's significant. And we'll see why as we continue on this morning. Hallelujah. Whatever you're speaking, friends, this morning must reflect your new identity. Whatever you're speaking, friends, must reflect your true identity. Do you see yourself in being a new creature? Do you see yourself in being a new creature as the healed of the Lord? Based on what he did. So I may rephrase it this way and say, how do you see yourself? Because that's going to give vent to what's going to emanate or come out from your mouth, your testimony. Sometimes, friends, we think, oh, testimony has to do with what I'm conveying to what? Someone else. But what are you hearing? What's your ears hearing on a daily basis when nobody else is there with you? When we're not together like this as a collective, as a body, what are you speaking? What are you mouthing? Have mercy upon us. They cried out. And I'm here saying this morning, friends, that post the cross, because we've seen something on the how it occurs or how it went on under the old covenant in the Old Testament. They said, have mercy upon us, Jesus, here on earth, during his earthly ministry. But post-cross, friends, there's something I want to emphasize, and it's important for us to see this morning. That, 1 Peter 2:9, we can open there. We have already obtained mercy. Did you hear me say that? We have already obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2, chapter 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, sorry, through 11. Popular passage. It says, and you are what?
Chosen.
A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should do what? Show forth the excellencies of him who has done what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, port of call. Who once were not people, a people, or another version says, who once were not a people of God, but now are what?
Now God's people.
Okay, and the next portion, who had not obtained mercy, but now what?
Have
obtained mercy. How did this occur? How did this happen? Are we noticing the tenses, friends? It says, you once had not obtained mercy. It says, but now have obtained mercy. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 and verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I can get there, not, I'll just cite it. But after that, the kindness and the love of God towards mankind had appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but by what? But by his mercy, he did what? He sozoed us. He did what? He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and what? Renewal by the Holy Ghost, or renewing in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, depending on what version it is that you have. So we obtained mercy in being saved. We obtained mercy in being born again when we came in living contact with the divine, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We were once not a people, but now we're the people of God. We had once not obtained mercy. Now we have obtained mercy. Friends, this goes to the root and speaks to your identity. In showing you mercy by the cross, by his death, by his resurrection, Jesus healed you. In showing mercy by his cross, by his death and resurrection, in that love displayed, showed, given to you, you obtained mercy. In obtaining mercy, you received your healing. Your identity. Who are you? It's important because this is going to drive what it is that you speak. This is going to drive what it is you have in your heart as it concerns yourself. In relation to health concerns and challenges, things of that nature. As it concerns affliction or a threat of affliction or a challenge, something that I'm going through, how I see myself, what I speak, what I say concerning me. I put it in this wise, three quick ways. I put it in this wise. I am the house that mercy built. Speaking about me, this is why I say concerning me. I am the house that mercy built.
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:19, my body is the temple of the what? Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22. I am the habitation of God by his Spirit. Now, all these things I'm talking about me, obviously, then I'm also talking about what? Where I dwell, that is, in this body. Because how many know that man is spirit?
Yes.
And he dwells where? In a physical body, what I call a tabernacle. So, but my understanding and my mindset and my grasp of what he did and the price he paid makes me realize that he inhabits this body. And so because he does that, because he lives in me, because he's alive in me, no sickness, no disease can have full sway or can have an abiding place or a resting place, or I phrase it something, I say a continuing city.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not in this body, not in this temple, not in this tabernacle. This is, friends, this is the heart, this is the mindset which we have to carry based on, as I repeat it again, based on your true identity. What God has done, the price Jesus paid, and what he fully accomplished.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I am the house that mercy built. His love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
understanding that. And so I can decree and declare expressly concerning that situation or that circumstance, concerning my body. In different instances, as some of you know, whether it concerns a perceived heart attack, telling you, you're having a heart attack and everything going haywire and putting me in and whatnot, and saying expressly, oh, you can check and run all the tests, do all what you want. Yeah, all the signs and all those, the things you get attached to are telling you, oh, yeah, there it is. This is what's going on. Like I said, oh, nope, this is an attack of the enemy and he has nothing in me. And so I can tell that to my wife who's by the bedside to say, honey, you've got nothing to worry about. God's got this. I'm good. All the signs, all the records, all the everything, the printouts is saying, heart attack. But what's your heart's response in that situation, in that circumstance? Sharp pain. You can't breathe the way you're supposed to breathe. Everything lines up. Say, oh, there it is. Okay. Get ready to just, you know, whatever it is. But no. And then they can run the tests. And then at the end of the day, the head of the department comes in later in the evening and I just say, oh, yep, we don't find anything consistent with a heart attack here. Amen. They're all set, sir. Good to go. I said, oh, well, that's the report I've been waiting to hear, because every other report said, oh, it's a heart attack. We're going to have to cut you open. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that and everything. I said, oh, all right, just next, until the top man came and said, oh, there's nothing. I said, glory to God, that's the testimony. Right. That's the one. Right. Mm-hmm. Can we go?
Did that happen to you?
To me? Yeah, me. Yeah. You want me? I've shared it in the past. That's why I didn't get into the, you know, the rubrics of it, the specifics of it. But I'm speaking, when I get up here to speak, especially as it concerns healing and health, I do my best, not all the time, to share testimonies, things that I've walked through, been through, but you notice I don't focus on those. I can share them from time to time to try and encourage us. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to convey by His Spirit is God's word, so that you can have that conviction to be able to respond to that situation and circumstance in what? In faith. Can we get on in this? Mary, you had something?
I had something where you were talking about that we are the house that must be built.
Yes.
Okay, we don't allow the enemy to inhabit. And that the Lord brought that John 10, where He said, I am the door. Hmm. So He's even the door to the house. And that's why we don't even let Him in.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, He's the door. So,
that's right.
Thank you, Lord.
So, friends, onus is on, thanks, Mary. Yeah. Onus is on you. What are you letting in? Some of us are letting in information, outside information. Some of us are taking, not necessarily us in this, not in this room, right. Not in this body, but we're taking the reports, we're taking that as truth.
Right.
We're taking that as truth. But friends, remember I said, for example, in the testimony I just shared, everything there may be lying they can give you. Who knows what I'm talking about here, friends?
Yeah.
They send you that report, or it's a sheet, or whatever, and the graphs, and yeah, different things. So, okay, this is what it is, but are you taking that as truth? Are you accepting that as truth concerning you?
Right.
Is that the report you're going to believe? Let's see something. Let's get back into our passage this morning. Luke 17. Oh, man, this gets more exciting. Take a look at this, friends. We're at verse 14. Luke 17, 14. So they've called out to Jesus, right, friends? Have mercy on us, right? Verse 14. So when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Friends, are we still at Leviticus? We're going to see something in chapter 14. But before that, friends, the narrative under the Old Testament gives you only one particular set of circumstances where you'd lift up yourself if you were a leper or you had this terrible disease on you. Only one particular set of circumstances when you can actually go to the priest. Who knows what that is?
When you are healed.
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah, no, I know.
Who's at Leviticus 14? Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Oh, man, verse 3 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, the following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from a skin disease, that is leprosy. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest, who will examine them at a place outside the camp." And if you read the rest of the passage, it lists a rigorous system for this to actually occur. It's something strenuous. All right. I guess you said you already know where I'm going,
yeah.
Right? Why did he tell them to just go?
Because they're
Why did he tell them to go?
Because they were healed. They were already healed.
Because?
They were already healed.
Any other answer? They were already healed. Any other answer, friend?
To be declared healed.
To be declared healed for the certificate of cleanse to just show, oh, okay, I'm whole, I'm healed. All right.
Exercise of their faith to get them to walk it out.
Exercise of their faith to get them to walk it out.
Maybe it wasn't manifested yet, but they just went on his word.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now he gave the word. Go show yourselves to the priest and based on the word.
Yeah.
You had something, Victoria. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
As a testimony.
As a testimony.
To other people.
To others.
Yeah.
Confirmation. Praise God.
They could have been covered with it right up to the point.
Hallelujah. 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 Look into your Bibles, friends. It says, "And so it was that as they went." So Jesus said, "Go show yourselves." And immediately, guess what happened, friends? These 10 guys began walking.
Uh-huh.
And just to share, just to add to what Mary just said, friends, as yet, in their bodies, they didn't see any of those balls or sores closing up. They didn't see a manifestation of, that which afflicted me already. Or they didn't say, oh, please wait, let me see something. I gotta see something. Let's let this one on top of my right here on forehead or on my arm. Let it dry up. Let it just die. Or let it just poof, dissipates. Just disappears. They didn't wait to say, let me see a sign. They say, Lord, show us a sign so that we will know that, okay, because look, I'm not going to go on this trip to the priest for no reason. This procedure, this process is stressful. I'm not going to go do that if I haven't. Let me see something. Show me a sign. They got walking, friends.
Oh my goodness.
They took the Lord. They took the Master at his word.
At his word.
Friends, notice Jesus didn't. I look through different versions as I do, and I'm reading over and over again. Can I get different accounts? What's going on? Did Jesus, was there a proclamation? Was there an express word? Just, okay, leprosy, this, that, you're dead, and all of, as far as him, Jesus, specifically addressing the issue. Or giving a command or what concern from the Lord Jesus himself now. So it's not like he said something in that regard, addressing the matter to hinge so that the faith of these guys can hinge on it. Okay, he's spoken something in this regard, so now I have something. But he says, go show that you are healed. They took him at his word without seeing anything, and they began the journey, trusting that it is just as he says, that I am healed already, that we are healed, not as a collective, but each man, as he took every step away from the Lord, away from the Master, on that journey towards the priest, something happened. Something happened, friends. Notice, they didn't ask Jesus for themselves. The question to themselves is, no, let's see something first. They didn't see it as far as a sign, but they took him at his word. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, friends, they didn't ask Jesus and say, Lord, please, can you explain the internal dynamics of how this is going to occur? Can you show by some convincing and exhaustive proof based on empirical analysis of how this is going to be or how this is going to happen? You're telling us to. Can you? Friends, they were not trying to dissect the word to say, oh, let's categorize, let's, I'm trying to throw up words so that we can just, you know, muddy the whole picture and, you know, muddy the whole thing up and make it complex.
Right.
As I sometimes do, as we sometimes do. Mm-hmm. Lord, show me proof. Mm-hmm. You said I should go, you said walk, but before I take a step, can I see something too? Can we take him at his word? You had something, Mary?
Yeah, Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken.
Hmm.
So shall thy seed be. That was even with Abraham.
Hallelujah.
So they walked in the faith of Abraham.
These guys, from how I see it, showed unshakable faith and trust, conviction. And the word that came forth from the Lord. They chose not to deal in the currency of unbelief. They chose not to deal in the currency of doubt. They chose not to deal in the currency of incessant questioning. Or continuous questioning. Which, questions are not bad, I can tell you that, but you know where that question is, where it's springing from. You know exactly, before you ask the question, you know exactly what's driving that. Can you take him at his word? And so I have a question, friends. There's so many passages in Scripture where doubt and unbelief serves to hinder us in the area of seeing manifestation of that which is fully ours already. And so I have a simple question this morning. Lord, help me phrase this the way I should. Now, how does your heart respond? And we don't need to answer, it's rhetorical. How does your heart respond? And I want you to be truthful to yourself. I know we're a body, but this question goes to each individual, and only you can answer in your heart of hearts. How does your heart respond when you hear the word? For example, 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 24, that by his stripes we were healed, you were healed. How does your heart respond? What's the first inclination? What's the thing that springs up? When you hear, oh, what is Isaiah 53? He paid for it by his cross, Romans 8, 9. Now, scriptures that tend to healing and other scriptures, just God's word, basically his word to you would as it concerns that situation and circumstance. How does your heart respond? Is there something inside that just says, I've heard this or I've seen this and, you know, and whatnot. But then that response, what's fueling that response, that initial response? I know it's been said over and over and over again. But so the question is, do you believe? Have faith in God. Mark 11, 22, do you believe? It's quite, friends, sometimes we try to build it up and it's almost like a monument. It says, oh, do I have faith? Do you believe? Can you take God at his word? Can you take the word of Jesus as true based on the finished work, what he's done, the price he paid and what he went through on that cross? His death, his resurrection, glorious ascension. Because of you, for you, out of his love, can you? And that speaks to healing, that he healed you. When you exercise faith in that, when you believe that finished work and accept him as Lord and Savior. Now, when you hear that, what's your heart response? Is there a question? Is there something that prickles on the inside of you, whereby you don't really or truly agree? That can serve as what?
I think it's a warning.
As a what?
It's a warning to you, really. I mean, if you're aware, a warning, and it is a hindrance.
Anyone else? Thanks, Mary. That can serve as what? You mentioned the word hindrance. So here's what I'm trying to drive at, friends. Something feeds that, whereby we can't just take the Lord at his word, whereby we can't just take the word for truth and receive it simply. Paul said, but I fear that just the same way the serpent beguiled Eve, deceived Eve, that you, your heart, should be removed or moved away, swayed away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I believe 2 Corinthians 11, 1, thereabouts. Can you just take his word? If he says you are healed, if he says by his stripes you were healed, can we just agree, accept, believe that, yes, I am, receive the consciousness, conviction relating to your new identity, and hold that as truth concerning you. When I said something is feeding that, what are the things that can feed that? Because that's what sometimes that holds sway in our hearts. That hinders us from receiving manifestation of what is rightfully, truly, and fully ours already. Of his fullness you have received grace for grace, grace upon grace, the fullness of God, his divine nature, his divine life, the divine nature of Abba coursing through your veins. But that stuff can serve as a hindrance. What are those things that feed it? Teresa. And it's good to be aware so that when we speak, we know exactly what we're speaking to and about.
Discouragement, lack of manifestation, and anger.
Discouragement, lack of manifestation.
Of the healing.
Mm-hmm. Of the healing. Mm-hmm. And then anger. Mm-hmm. Anger towards
God.
Anger towards God.
Sure.
Thank you, Teresa.
Well, you're welcome.
Friends, just using that as an example. And Teresa, thank you so much, because as always, and this is how I like the class to be, just for us to be real. And these are the things we're going to be touching on as we go on, to be able to expose it and then use God's word to just shed light. If I'm angry at God for what I perceive, I say, I'm carrying this thing and it's been there for X amount of years. And I'm wondering, well, okay, I'm healed. Okay, so, you know, and I know a couple of scriptures and I recite and I do whatever, but I'm still seeing this, right? Anger at God, how do you think that pictures your perception or understanding or revelation as it concerns your identity? What effect do we think that has?
Negative.
Gail?
Faith and a lack of trust in your maker and your healer.
You know, and that brings us into conversation, different things, in the perception of seeing that, maybe he's placed this on me, maybe it's for a reason, maybe it's for a good cause, that it opens a door, it's a panorama, it opens a whole new vista of different things coming in that begin to wrap around your heart by way of strings, causing it, making it difficult for you to see the manifestation of that which is yours already. Charging it to God. Meanwhile, all the time, his thoughts towards you are thoughts of what? Good, not of evil, not of bad. He's always willing. He's willing, and he did it. He not only is he willing, he did something about it, which is what we try to convey here at healing class. As it concerns your health, as it concerns your healing, he did something about it. He paid a price in that regard. He ushered you in to the fullness of it. And as we go on in these classes, we'll see what we need to cause for there to be a block to those things entering in. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Teresa. What else, Victoria?
Oh, no, I just wanted to ask
a comment?
Yes. Mm-hmm. While you were reading the Luke 17.
Yes.
So something just came to my mind. I think it's just like a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord says that the Lord hath declared and will not repent, that you are a high priest in the order of
Melchizedek. Mm-hmm.
So the lepers actually saw a high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was physically there, he's already a high priest. And they received the healing before they went forth to see a physical priest. You know, the healing has already taken place when they saw Jesus Christ before it actually manifested.
Hmm.
So it's like when we pray and, you know, if you see him in that light as he is a high priest, it's like you have just believe and, you know, get that, you get the healing.
The manifestation.
Yes.
Thank you, Victor. And so as we close, I want to ask this question, friends, and we'll continue next week. What is that thing that the Lord Jesus is asking you to do? For which you're still waiting for a sign to be able to just receive his word concerning you. That my child, I love you. I loved you. I loved you by what I did, and I love you. And I paid the price. Now you can name whatever name or nomenclature is given to that infirmity, or we were looking at leprosy today, or that health condition. The medics got a slew of names. They have different things for that. Some I can't even pronounce. And so I'm not going to, you know, it's like almost every day there's something, sometimes you hear something like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's affecting your body, your health, or something.
Mm-hmm.
What is Jesus asking you to do today? For him? For someone? For yourself? And that you're still waiting for a sign. You're still waiting for a removing, as it were, of sorts. And just for want of a better word, before you actually take that step of faith. In accepting his word as so. And then just doing. Only you can answer that question. But guess what, friends? Whatever that response is, there's only one way or one remedy as far as how you can, it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum it is or what side of the divide it is, the only way to see significant progress in that area, in that arena, in that spot, is by, till tomorrow, is by what? Zoning in on who? On Jesus, your focus, your heart, your attention, it still has to be Jesus, my Lord, Master, King, lover of my soul. I love you. Thank you. You know, we didn't get to, you know, later reaches, as I said, we'll continue, but still Jesus, friends. It's still our hearts turned to him. You know, there's something, there's a passage, and there's no time, so I'll just close it out this way. It says, looking unto Jesus, right?
The pioneer.
And that's where we'll kick off next week. We're going to zero in on faith. I might as well, should I go ahead, Lord, tell, title? Yeah, it's about faith. I'll put it that way. No need for the title. It's about faith, and we'll continue on, okay, friends? But I'd like for our prayer team member to just come up right now. Friends, let's be encouraged in our hearts. Let's keep our eyes and our hearts on Jesus. How many know what's the time to give thanks or to glorify God? We're going through challenges. What's the time to give thanks and to glorify God? Yeah, so as it concerns health, healing and health, what's the time to give him thanks and praise?
Now.
Friends, not after I start seeing something.
Oh, sorry.
Not waiting till I start seeing something. Are you still waiting to see? Are we still waiting to see? No, the time is now to give him thanks, to glorify his holy name, to give him praise. Friends, in that posture, your heart is open fully to receive that manifestation bodily. Thanksgiving in your heart, abounding in thanksgiving. Is there anyone here? Prayer team members here? She's set by the power of God and by the Holy Ghost to minister life in this area right now bodily. And I'm also going to remain up front here. If you're here and you have a need, hear me say this very clearly. You have a need as it concerns health. Now, I'll rephrase this by saying it doesn't matter if you've stepped up before, if you've received ministry before, but right now, God is in this place. Holy Ghost is here. You have a need health-wise. I'd like for you to just rise on your feet where you are and just come forward. Physical, heart-wise, even mind-wise, guess what? The price paid is effective for all. And wholeness is yours by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Christ, I love you to just take advantage of this opportunity to come forward. Father, I just thank you for this time. I give you praise, Lord, for who you are and just how awesome you are, Lord. I just magnify your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for miraculous workings that have occurred in this room already this morning. They have occurred already. And Father, I thank you for testimonies that result, that redound to your holy name. Give you praise, Lord, that it is done. We're recipients of your goodness, of your healing wholeness, and we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for attending. We'll continue next week. Let's be back in time for the service at 10:45.
Thank you, Pastor John.
I love you. Love you.